Listening to that, the DUP MP, Geoffrey Donaldson. Morning to you, Geoffrey.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What are your thoughts as you hear that?
Well, clearly when you listen to these veterans, guys who have served their country for a long time, and indeed who came to Northern Ireland and stood in the front line during very difficult and dark years, it's appalling that they're not receiving the support and care that they need. And we've identified that this is a problem, and indeed I led a debate in the House of Commons recently.
You're on the Defence Select Committee.
I am indeed, yes, and the DUP had a half-day debate on the military covenant because we believe that the covenant isn't delivering in terms of providing support to those veterans who have mental health problems, and many of them served in Northern Ireland. Many of them live in Northern Ireland today. We have a large veterans community here, Stephen, and in fact, out of a population of 1.8 million, we have almost 10% of our population are veterans who served in the armed forces. That's higher than any other region of the United Kingdom. And many of those veterans do suffer from mental health problems. Some of them have post-traumatic stress disorder because of what they witnessed in Northern Ireland, because of the horrors that they had to go through.
Yeah, but how many people, like what we've just heard, are out there and not being helped? Like, it's terrifying, Geoffrey, when you hear grown men saying they're having to lock themselves away in rooms and cower in the corner in their own and shake and cry and scream, and they're having nightmares in the middle of the night. And you're part of a government, you're part of a society, sorry, as am I, who isn't helping them. We're not helping these people.
Well, and we are doing our best, Stephen, to ensure that the government does deliver. And today I have here in Lisburn, Anna Soubry, who is the Minister for Veterans. She has come across at my invitation. She's meeting this morning with veterans. She will be meeting a group including veterans who have post-traumatic stress disorder, so she can hear it firsthand, the problems that they face personally and their families. And I think it's important that the government understands the extent of this problem and that we get more than the words that we've had, that we get action to tackle it. It's not good enough to rely on charities like Combat Stress, and they do an excellent job, but they can only provide treatment and support for a limited number of veterans.
Here's the billion-dollar question. Do we suck kids into the army with the glossy brochures promising them that they'll be looked after, promising that they're part of a family, and then churn them back out again when we don't need them anymore and forget about them?
Well, I like to think that they're not forgotten about. And in Northern Ireland, for example, we have, for those who served in the Royal Irish Regiment and the Ulster Defence Regiment, there is an aftercare service. That's one of the things we fought hard to achieve, was an aftercare service that would provide welfare support to veterans who'd served in the UDR and the Royal Irish Regiment. But that needs to be extended to all veterans, and we need to have that kind of support so that when men and women who served in our armed forces leave military service, that they're not abandoned, that there is ongoing support to help them when they face difficulties, including with their health.
Have a listen to Kieran in Limavady. Morning, Kieran. Go ahead.
Good morning, Stephen. And good morning, Geoffrey.
Good morning, Kieran.
Geoffrey, I just heard them two soldiers there on their talk, and I felt very sorry for them. I was just thinking back, if it hadn't been for unionists and loyalists, soldiers and the army wouldn't have been brought on here. Because whenever the soldiers were brought on here, the first people to treat the soldiers with tea and cake and buns was the Catholic community, because the unionist and loyalist community were wreaking havoc
in
nationalist areas.
You'll have a different perspective on that, Geoffrey.
Well, that's the reason why they were brought on, Stephen.
I think I will. You know, there were hundreds of soldiers who lost their lives or were seriously injured during the Troubles in Northern Ireland, and many of them still live with those injuries.
The Troubles,
today.
And he was the army brought down.
Well, Kieran, with all due respect, you know, you talk about listening to the soldiers, and yet what you're trying to do is justify what happened to
not
them.
Not at
I'm
all,
sorry,
because I've got
Kieran, I'm not going to go down
that
road at all. I am not going to go down a road that says it was legitimate for people to take up arms and go out and break the law and murder soldiers, policemen, and innocent civilians.
So that way was that the reason why the army was brought on, Geoffrey? Or was it just that they burned Catholics out of their own? Because the British government knew that they had to do something.
Well, we're going off on a tangent here, aren't we? I know why you want to talk about it, but what we're talking about today is the mental health issues that lots of people...
Stephen, they wouldn't have had mental health if it hadn't been for ethnic cleansing.
For example...
Unionists and loyalists.
Well, and unionists and loyalists would very, very much find your comments offensive. John Tipple,
yes,
from Stop the War Coalition. Morning to you, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you have sympathy with those soldiers?
Well, I've represented soldiers with post-traumatic stress disorder, and I would like to say I've played a bit of a role in helping some of people who later become my friends through very difficult times with the assistance of professionals in this field. However, really what I want to talk about is what John said, really, the ex-soldier, which I heard his interview. He said shock after shock, and to that I would say to John, yeah, that's because there's war after war. And the very idea that the people like Geoffrey Donaldson, a warmonger, would actually care a tuppence of the mental health of soldiers is laughable.
Well,
in the first
well, world, well Geoffrey will need to reply to that.
I know he would, but...
Well, and he's going to reply to it now. Go on, Geoffrey.
Well, John is clearly only interested in coming on this morning to insult people. I'm not a warmonger, but I do believe there are times when our country needs to go to war in our national interest. That's not
when wasn't there? When wasn't there a time, Geoffrey? When was there a war you disagreed
John,
with?
John, I didn't interrupt you, so please, if you believe in democracy, don't interrupt. Yeah, please, John, I know that you want to bully your way through this interview, but I'm entitled to my say as well. And it is very clear that what we need to do is look after those who we do send off to war, who bring themselves forward. I mean, John, with all due respect, people do not join the Army, the Navy and the Air Force to engage in activities that may not include the possibility of war. That is why we have a military. We have a military to protect our nation and to act in the national interests and the security of our nation. And that means at times, unfortunately, our members of the armed forces are involved in armed
conflict. Okay, go on, John.
The national interest and flags are often brought out in these situations. My point was that there continues to be war and there continues to be victims of it. In the First World War, post-traumatic stress was dealt with by way of bullets. Today, it is dealt with by way of mealy-mouthed words by politicians who say, we're going to have a meeting. This is what Geoffrey has said this morning. We're going to have a meeting to hear firsthand. Well, we've been hearing about the effects of sending young people to war long enough. Now, we don't really need to have another little review and another little chat. What we really need to do is to look at what it is that creates war and why are wars created. And I would suggest that war is business by other means. And the business-orientated Geoffrey and the rest of them accept war in much the way they accept screwing people over. And the army is only a microcosm of the world we live in, of the society we live in. There is a ruling class and there are soldiers like John who are clearly the working class. And we are treated appallingly in any circumstances, but with post-traumatic stress disorder, it happens that soldiers are seven times more likely to find themselves without a home when they discharge from the army. They're 7% more likely to find themselves in mental health institutions, and 7% more likely.
Okay. Well, listen.
This is an indictment on the ruling class that Geoffrey represents when they send young people to do their dirt.
And Geoffrey, I will let you respond. We have 1 minute before the news, but I can tell you now we're hearing from quite a few people who have served in the security forces who are currently calling us on this right now. 08459 555 678. We're going to hear from a man who served for 16 years in the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, who's been diagnosed with severe PTSD. We'll hear from him after the news. Geoffrey, final thought from you, 20 seconds.
We recognise this is a major problem that needs to be addressed. And the one point I do agree with John is it's not words. We need action. We need proper mental health care, trauma support for people who have served our country and who need that care and welfare now.
Geoffrey, thank you. John Tipple, thank you.